Joining us now, as he does on most Mondays at this time, is Greg Bordonero, the editor of the Hartford Business Journal. Greg, welcome to Front and Center.
Thanks for having me.
A lot of great stories, as always, in the latest edition of the journal, the print edition, and also online. And I want to begin with this story about how the area, particularly around the busway in, or the station for CT Fast Track in downtown New Britain, is really undergoing some change. Talk about the story that's in the journal this week.
Sure. You know, we all know that the sort of the controversial nature of the Connecticut Fast Track busway, hundreds of millions of dollars spent on a 9.5-mile track, and, you know, whether or not there was going to be enough ridership to really pay for that expense. But one of the, you know, the key functionalities of the bus track, of the busway, other than helping get more people off the road and providing some more public transportation for the greater Hartford region, was that the hope was that it would spur some what's called transit-oriented development around the busway. That includes, you know, new office buildings, new apartment buildings. That's part of the goal of the busway, to have developers come around near the busway track and build apartment buildings so that people could, you know, forego their cars and just hop on the busway to get to, you know, either downtown Hartford or other work areas along the busway. And so far, it appears to be having that effect, particularly in downtown New Britain. And since the busway sort of kicked off, particularly in New Britain, in March 2015, there's been a half dozen redevelopment projects that have either been announced or completed in downtown. And over the next 5 years, there's about a $100 million redevelopment pipeline within the city of New Britain. So there is a lot of developer interest to sort of build and construct, or mostly redevelop, old defunct buildings in New Britain, with the hopes of bringing some of these buildings to life and taking advantage of some of the traffic that's coming from the busway.
I guess one of the reasons the developers like New Britain is that, as one developer is quoted in the story as stating, there's this seamless process between the city and the private sector, right?
Yeah, there's, you know, they're under Mayor Erin Stewart. She's one of her big efforts has been to improve the economic development prospects of the city and to help simplify the way that developments get done. There's also been close coordination with the New Britain Chamber of Commerce. And so they're trying to really simplify the way that developers could get projects moving throughout the pipeline. And, you know, one of the big chief complaints within the state of Connecticut is that many towns and cities have really stubborn or sort of archaic planning and zoning commission rules and things like that, and that the regulatory burdens to getting developments not only off the ground but through the pipeline is difficult. So New Britain has been trying to improve that process.
And what is also exciting to me anyway is that apparently the ITBD, which is the Central Connecticut State University downtown campus, is also having a positive effect.
Yeah, CCSU has an office building downtown, and there are you know, rumors that they may actually bring their whole art department downtown. You know, colleges are seen as a key factor in any sort of downtown revitalization. You see the same thing in downtown Hartford with UConn moving its West Hartford campus to downtown Hartford. That's gonna be a major jolt to the downtown, the capital city. And, you know, New Britain hopes that CCSU will sort of be that further spark for getting more development downtown. You know, CCSU has at one point expressed interest in maybe putting a presence in downtown Hartford. That doesn't look like it's on the table, but growing their presence in downtown New Britain is certainly a possibility. And, you know, there's lots of, you know, different development projects now underway in New Britain. You know, one of them we talked about is, the newest one is One Herald Square, which is a New Britain Herald's former home. It's set to have formal dedication in a few weeks. And that reconstituted property is going to be housing a soon-to-open dialysis treatment center, taking up about a third of its 31,000 square feet. And there was also a major announcement a few months ago that the city chose a New York developer to convert its former police station site on Columbus Boulevard into a $58 million mixed-use development.
Now, that was going to be my next question, Columbus Commons. How close is that to actually happening, or is it just right now plans on a drawing board?
It's plans on a drawing board. There still needs to be another approval process. But the, you know, the developer seems to have agreed on a price tag. Now they just have to go through the city council has also approved that deal, from what I remember. So it's close to becoming a reality.
Talking with Greg Bordonero from the Hartford Business Journal, another great story in the journal this week is this Farmington-based company, Oral Fluid Dynamics, and their effort to come up with a solution for dry mouth. First of all, I never realized it was that much of a problem, but this is quite a story, Greg.
Yeah, there's about 60 million people in the U.S. who suffer from dry mouth, which is, you know, a possible side effect for hundreds of different prescription, non-prescription drugs. It could also be brought on by aging, tobacco use, cancer therapy, and autoimmune diseases like HIV and AIDS. And so we, you know, the Harvard Business Journal this year has focused a series on Connecticut's growing bioscience industry. We did a few stories looking at the overall sector, where it's come in the last few years and where it's headed. And during this last few, 3 or 4 weeks during the summer, we're spending time looking at different startup companies that are starting to grow in Connecticut. We also looked at some established companies in New Haven. This week we looked at Oral Fluid Dynamics, and basically what they're developing is an artificial salivary gland to help people with dry mouth. And what it is they're developing is basically a dental implant with a pump that takes fluid that's already present in the mandible bone and supplies it to the mouth. And their founder, Robert Kelly, says that this is the first mechanical solution to dry mouth if it comes to fruition. Now, this is a very early stage startup. They're still in the research phase. They have raised $175,000 over the last couple of years, which has helped fund their research. They're hoping to raise another $1.5 million from a federal grant by September. But that is sort of just a start. To really even get to clinical trials, they're probably going to need to raise another few million dollars. And to bring this thing to market, they'll probably need to raise at least $5 million. So they're very much in the early stages right now. They don't know if, you know, this is going to work on humans. They're doing some animal trials right now. But, you know, the interesting thing about the bioscience industry is that it takes a long time for startups to bring their products to market. And this is sort of reflecting that and sort of the growing pains that bioscience startups have.
Should be emphasized, though, that they are avoiding venture capital, right?
As of right now, they are. Their company founder, you know, Robert Kelly, who is not sort of a natural businessman, but he said he didn't want to, you know, take venture funding at this point and then sort of have the control of the company being taken over by financiers. We'll see how long they could last without taking venture funding. You know, eventually you've got to get enough money to get this thing through clinical trials and eventually to market. So, but they are also looking for manufacturing partners, both in the U.S. and also outside the United States, because they don't want to manufacture this product. They simply want to develop it and then, you know, sell the rights to make it to another outside manufacturer.
But they already have people on a waiting list, don't they?
Yep, they have people who are interested in doing the clinical trial once that comes to fruition. They're probably 2 or 3 years away from a human clinical trial. They still want to test their product on animals further, and then they'll need FDA approval to go start through that clinical trial process. They're hoping to maybe get FDA approval in the next year or so. So we'll see how they develop.
You know, it's fascinating, though, and you read the story. If this were to come to fruition, if it all came to pass, this would be a lucrative venture. There's a lot of money to be made here.
Yeah, they're pricing the product to be pretty expensive. If I could remember the figure, they might even...
I thought I read
$25,000. Yeah, $25,000 is sort of where they're pricing it, which would be a $5,000 basically profit per implant. And, you know, with the 60 million people suffering from this disease, you're looking at a big potential market. Of course, one caveat is, you know, would insurance companies cover this? Right now, it doesn't look like that it would be the case, but you don't know how, you know, policy and both public policy and insurance policies will evolve over the years. But at the same time, they're thinking is that, you know, there's enough people who are very wealthy who might suffer from this that would pay for that $25,000 out of pocket, and there'd still be a viable market for their product.
So apparently the next step now is to find out if they're going to get this $1.5 million from NIH by September. Is that
yep,
right?
Yep, that's the next step that'll help continue funding their research probably for at least another year, and then they'll have to get that next stage funding to really help them get into their clinical trials and then eventually to bring their product to market.
And I would guess that time is somewhat of an essence because they have some competition in this research, don't they?
Yeah, there's a couple of universities that are sort of testing out their own version of this. Not an implant. They're trying to do something with the tissue in your mouth. They're doing a different thing. But it's the main competition is from the University of Texas Health Center at San Antonio and Rice University. They're basically working on something that focuses on tissue engineering through the use of cells to grow salivary glands. So Kelly says that the research is not there yet, and that'll take, you know, another 30 years before that sort of answer becomes an option for people with dry mouth. And he says his product will be a quicker solution coming to market than what's being studied out in Texas.
Talking with Greg Bordonero on Front and Center, and also in the Hartford Business Journal is this report from Associated Builders and Contractors, which is based in Connecticut. And the construction industry for the private sector is not good here in Connecticut, or for that matter, New York, Greg.
Yeah, you know, this is not surprising. The construction industry oftentimes reflects the overall economy in each state. And what this study found by the Associated Builders and Contractors is that Connecticut and New York's construction industry are having the smallest economic impact of any state as measured by their percentage of GDP they contribute to each state. So construction accounted for just 3.1% of GDP in Connecticut, whereas the national average is 3.9%. And this also followed some rough news earlier this month that was released. I found that Connecticut's construction unemployment rate in June was the fourth highest in the country at 6.9%, whereas the national industry unemployment rate was 4.6%.
Well, we'll see what happens over the remaining few months here to perhaps improve that, but certainly a lot going on, and I invite people to pick up a copy of the Hartford Business Journal and visit hartfordbusiness.com. Greg, as always, thanks for spending some time with us.
All right, thank you.
Take care.